Today, we've got in our hot seat, Charles L'Espérance, the CEO of OXXO Group. Charles, good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are Nimzi's Inga Boonen, VP of Consulting, and Sarah Hickey, VP of Research.
What is it that OXXO Group actually does?
OXXO Group is a translation and localization company, I would say headquartered in Montreal, Canada. We provide translation and localization to a different number of organizations. We have about 80 employees in Canada, mostly in Quebec, and around 50 around the world. We have bought around 4 companies the past years. So I'm the CEO of OXXO OXXO Innovation and Communication Transcript. And my role is to try to create synergies between the two groups and make it grow and prosper for everybody.
When you were a kid, what was it actually that you thought you would be doing as an adult?
I come from a family of doctors. But soon enough, I realized that that wasn't for me. And I had a grandfather that was the CEO of a printing and media group. So quickly I became interested in how he was managing this company, and he gave me very useful tips. And today he's still with us on that side of the matter.
And when you are not working, how is it that you like to spend your time?
I'm mostly spending my time with my 2 kids. I have 2 young kids of 6 and 4 years old. And our hobbies naturally merge. So you do the activities that your kids are interested in and vice versa. So I'm playing tennis and a lot of chess. I'm still studying chess a lot. I'm taking classes with the international master every week.
Cool.
And I'm still improving. So, and I'm amazed how this game has endless possibilities. And we can learn every day. And beside that, we'd like to travel together. Even though the past 2 years wasn't that easy for that, but it really creates the best memories. And hopefully, we can resume that.
Are there like 3 countries that you haven't been yet and that you would like to visit? And can you tell us why?
Actually, confirm with my wife if my choices were right before doing this interview. But I guess Greece, Japan, and South Africa would be where I would like to go. Never been to those countries. Apparently, they're rich of history, and the food. Food is amazing, especially in Japan. I cannot wait to taste the fish there. So I would say that those 3 countries.
What's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
I have a background of a tax lawyer and lawyer, so I did law studies before. I had the chance to work as an intern in some media company, a big one here in Quebec. And my boss back then told me that having an accurate judgment is really the best ally for a leader. He was in a leading position, and asked him like, what's the most important thing for you like day to day? He says, you know, I need to make hundreds of decisions every day, and having fast and accurate judgments and intuition is probably the most important thing in my job. It's not knowledge. Knowledge is out there, right? So it's what you do with this knowledge. And I would say this. And another advice is, if you're still learning, you're in a good place. And if you don't feel that you're learning anymore, maybe it's time to have a quick chat with your manager and maybe considering doing something else. This is what makes my job, I think, interesting, is that we know 5% of a subject, but on many subjects. So I feel I'm still learning a bit more of these 5%, maybe in 2 years going to be 7%. So this is what fits me.
Time for me to take over and crank up the heat a little bit. In your career, can you recall like a breakthrough moment?
After you have your first employee, you feel, okay, now we're real a company. we have a company. I have a colleague. We can chat about things, right? But after that, I would say that when we merged with CCAPS, the company of Fabiano Cid, I think that was another step where we were a smaller Canadian company, and then we became a company with colleagues in Brazil. So it's so interesting in the group meetings to discover this new culture and to visit sometimes.
What inspired you to start your company?
The first idea that I had was, so Canada is full of global companies. Even though we're small countries, we're 35 million people, but we have companies like Cirque du Soleil, Bombardier, WSP, that is a leader in engineering, CGI, for example. So the first idea was to help these companies to go global, to help them to break new markets, and translation localization is really in the middle of that. Also, Canada being a bilingual country, one of the non-bilingual countries in the world, and it brings a lot of natural volume for translation from English to French and French to English. So our first clients were more, after I started the company, I had this idea about bringing company globals, but quickly enough, it was as well of making sure that the communications to French or English are accurate. And I think it's very important in the country we live in. It's still a big part of our revenues are from this kind of translations.
Starting your own company and growing it to the size where you're at now, you must have overcome a lot of challenges. But is there maybe a particular one or certain ones that you can tell us about that you had to overcome and what you maybe learned from it as well?
We bought another company, Transcript, and bringing the two cultures together is one of the challenges we have. Transcript has been a leader for the Canadian market for over 20-25 years. People are retiring from Transcript last year, this year, and it's an amazing feeling to have people working for 25 years in the same company. I think we're all proud of that. But bringing the cultures together and making it like one group, this is the biggest challenge that we will face in the next years.
How would you describe your leadership style?
I like to delegate a lot. This is something from the beginning that was important for me. I like to, I give a lot of confidence to people. So when you work for OXXO Transcript, you will have rapidly a lot of responsibilities because I trust you. Maybe I'm a bit candid or I don't know, optimistic about things sometimes, but delegating for sure is something that is very important. And being transparent, this is one of our core values, being transparent. We have meetings where we disclose the revenues, the communicate, I think, more and more, but I think we are doing it pretty well now. So being transparent is another, I would say, trait of how I lead. And I like to go with the flow a bit. It has its pros and cons, but we in this world, we need to be flexible. I think good things will happen that way.
Can you recall, like, maybe what you would classify as your biggest failure or mistake and what you learned from it?
I would have liked to structure the HR department sooner and the performance evaluations, the KPIs for everyone to follow. I think we didn't structure that well enough at the beginning. And it's super important because people want to know where they're heading to, how they can grow, what they need to achieve to get a raise, get a promotion. And this is something that sometimes we forget. Times go so fast, you have new clients, you're growing fast, and you said sometimes you need to put the structure more strong and build on that. Another thing I would say, and I'm sure I'm not the only one to experience that, is as a CEO as a manager, make a distinction between the work and the personal life. And it goes both ways. So this year I said, let's try to focus when I'm at work, 100% of the time on the work. When that work is finished, let's focus 100% time on the family and doing more sport and stuff like that, because you're easily in your thought and you know, your business is like is like a friend, is like a yeah. child, it's always with you. It's hard to disconnect, but I think it's important to be, to succeed in time, to be durable, if you want to say, as a manager, because you can be burned and you can neglect some stuff, mm-hmm. other parts of your life. I think this is, I don't want to say it's a big failure, but this is something in 22 I want to change definitely, and it's going to improve the company as well, for sure.
What do you think is your biggest weakness?
I don't think I'm a highly organized person. I would definitely do more if I was more organized. At school, I was missing a pen, for example, or my sheet of paper to do the exam. I mean, I'm like that. I try to change, but it's not easy.
Well, if it works maybe, for you, and some people thrive on chaos as well, you know?
I would say that. I don't think, when you read books, people say, oh, you need to be organized to succeed. And yeah, maybe, but you need to be organized, I think, naturally, or really to make it happen. It cannot be fake, yeah, or try.
We all have our own styles more. There.
For example, now I have 49,700 unread email in my inbox. So, is,
I don't know how you do it.
But it's just like that. It's, I know where to look at it, look for it, and some are not, most of them are not emails I should read anyway. But I like. I mean, you know, I can work like that.
What advice would you give to young entrepreneurs who are starting their own business in the language industry today?
I left the law sector that was more rigid. Path was out there, and when I left, my mom asked me, "Are you sure you want to do this? Like, you're gonna start your own translation company? What is gonna be your first client? Do you have new employees? The machine translation is gonna change everything. Google Translate is good." That was 8-9 years ago.
Yeah.
And I said, "Mom, listen, there is a market. We're gonna do things differently." So I would say, just go for it. Don't listen to people. Some people always say, "I'll do it next year. I'll do it next year. I'm not ready." Just do it. And if you're a young entrepreneur, it means that you can fail, and you can bounce back. And this is something very important. And another thing is, be patient. So be patient. And when you succeed is when everything is strong enough and there is no component on the company that is really weak. And this takes time. It takes between, I don't know, 5 to 8 years, especially in translation. Well, you build your first client, then with this client, you get another client. And then you have a certain size, you can go for the bigger clients. So it's really a matter of creating the momentum, but definitely it takes time, so be patient.
That's really very good advice. Thank you, Charles.
Hey, thank
much
you.
Much appreciated. If anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, do sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
Look out for the next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSY website. We'll see you there.